Chapter 40. My friend's cautions rang in my ears. I had promised not to open the door to someone I didn't know, but I knew Jules Thatcher. He may have saved my life that night in the maze. Besides, any person who got so involved in reading his favorite books that he took on the persona of the characters could surely be trusted. Pushing aside the fact that I had just added his name to my list of suspects, I opened the door and invited him inside. "I came to say goodbye, Miss Ned," Jules said as he and I sat in the living room. I had poured coffee for both of us, and now he turned his mug around and around, gazing at the dark liquid. "Oh, are you going on a trip?" I asked, noting that today he seemed to be himself, just Jules Thatcher, and not a fictional character. He sighed. "You might say so, a mighty long one. I'm leaving Edna Lee, leaving Oklahoma. I need to get far, far away from that bunch who've taken over Miss Evangeline's home." "I'm sorry to hear that," I said. "Why are you going?" I didn't mention it to Jules, but I wondered if the sheriff would approve of his leaving and if it would be considered suspicious. Jules finished half his coffee before he answered. "I hate to admit this, but I'm scared. I don't trust anybody that's left out there on the farm. Those relatives of Miss Eva's, if they are really relatives and aren't just liars, are a sneaky bunch. I think one of them is responsible for her death, and I'm afraid they're suspicious of me. They think maybe I know something about why those three women died, and maybe I do." My pulse quickened. This man, looking intently at me, was a troubled soul. Real fear flickered in his green eyes. "Jules," I said softly, "do you want to share what you know with me?" Setting his mug on the floor, he clasped his hands together between his knees and leaned toward me. "After I tell you what I know and what I suspect, I'm going to disappear. I thought maybe somebody else besides me should know, just in case something happens to me and I don't make my getaway. I guess you know this, Miss Ned, you are in danger. The Carverkin don't like the fact that you're snooping around. I heard them arguing about you one night." My lips felt tight as I asked, "You heard them mention me?" He nodded. "I was supposed to have gone home. It was past quitting time. But there were some spring plantings I wanted to get in, some shrubs to replace the ones that had died during the winter. They didn't know I was right under the window, and I heard Pearlie yelling at Elbert. 'I don't like this one bit,' she said. 'That McNeil woman is snooping around, I tell you. I wouldn't trust her as far as I could throw her.'" I rubbed my arms, which were suddenly cold. "Is that all you heard?"
"That's about it," Jules said. "But I catch them throwing me sidelong glances. It's an unhappy house out there now, an uneasy house. I'm afraid that what happened to Myra might happen to you. And you, Miss Ned, you've got to be careful. Maybe you should get out of town, too."
I got up and started pacing. The fight-or-flight syndrome had struck me full force. I couldn't sit still. "What else makes you uneasy?" I asked, pausing by my chair. "You knew both Myra and Lila, didn't you? You had worked on the farm for quite a while." Jules motioned toward the chair. "Please sit down, Miss Ned, or I'll feel like I should stand up, too. And frankly, I'm tired. Feel like I've got a weight on my shoulders." I sat on the edge of my chair. "I need to know your thoughts, Jules," I said. "You've told me this much. Tell me the rest of what you know." He leaned back, ran his hand over his stubble of a beard, and gazed at the ceiling. "Yes, I knew both Lila and Myra. Lila had been a housekeeper for Miss Eva for a long, long time. I believe Lila's mother and Miss Eva were girls together and were friends. There was never any doubt about Lila. She was trustworthy. She wouldn't ever have done anything to hurt Miss Eva. Lila and me, we were the only two on that place that Miss Eva trusted. You remember what she said that day at the graveyard? She accused somebody of being a murderer. I think she must have heard or seen something that caused her to believe that. And I think whoever it was she accused killed her and hoped it'd be blamed on the storm."
"I would never forget that day, the second death connected with the Carver farm. Lila had been a trusted employee,
a friend to her employer. I wondered if Miss Evangeline had told her, as she told me, that somebody was trying to kill her. Jules scooted back and gripped his knees with his hands. He looked down at the floor, then up at me.
Myra. I knew her when she was just a girl. Then she grew up and got married. Old Judson Carver treated her and her husband awful, foreclosing on their home. Course he took our home, too, but I got over the bitterness. I don't think Myra ever did. Miss Eva wasn't anything like her father. I think she actually hired us, Myra and me, to try and make up for some of old Judd's meanness.
I felt the need to pace again. Grabbing Jules's mug and my own, I took them to the coffee pot and refilled them.
So Myra was resentful of her boss? Do you think she tried to get even with her?
I asked, handing him the steaming mug.
Maybe, Jules said, squinting through the steam.
I saw something kind of strange the day Miss Eva died, and it just stuck in my mind. It was around noontime. I was about to quit work and have lunch. Thought I'd walk over to the stables and see if Ken or Tyler wanted to eat with me. I saw Myra coming back toward the house. She'd come from the pasture, from the direction everybody said Miss Eva died. Myra had something white all rolled up in her hands and looked to me like she was scared. She was hurrying and kept looking behind her. The coffee in my mouth suddenly tasted sour. I gulped and said, "She had something white in her hands?" He nodded. Like maybe a tablecloth?" I whispered. Jules shrugged. "I don't know. I suppose it could have been." My mind whirled. Myra was still bitter toward Miss Evangeline. Myra, at the luncheon, had been upset and wanted to tell me something, but didn't want anyone else to hear. Myra's empty house, her body in the maze, she knew something about the murder. But what? Somehow I couldn't picture Myra clubbing Miss Evangeline to death. I could, however, picture her hiding behind a bush in the pasture, white tablecloth in hand, a cloth she had taken from the Carver kitchen. I could imagine her stepping out from the bush, flapping the cloth, and startling Miss Evangeline's mare. So had she meant to give Miss Eva a good scare, make her little mare run? And then, when she saw Miss Eva on the ground and thought she was dead, she might have been scared. But what had she hoped to accomplish? What was the point? And why would it have happened the day Miss Evangeline had planned to see her lawyer? Had Myra been the one lurking behind a corner the night I talked to Miss Eva? Maybe Myra had meant to confess this to me, but if she had meant only to confess what she had done, why would someone have killed her? No, she had meant to implicate someone else, and that person didn't want that to happen. So Myra was killed.
"Miss Ned, are you all right?"
Jules's anxious voice interrupted my thoughts. Taking a deep breath, I reached out and squeezed his hand.
"Yes, yes, I'm fine, Jules. Thank you for coming. You've helped more than you know. I think you're right. You'd better get as far away from the Carver farm as you can. You're not safe here. I'm going to share with the chief of police what you've told me. He's working with the sheriff. Maybe before too long you'll be able to come back home."
Jules stood up and I walked him to the door. He stepped onto the porch and pointed at a potted bonsai tree beside the door.
"Miss Eva gave me that tree," he said. "It was on an evening after we'd shared a nightcap."
She walked over to a plant stand and said, "Jules, I want you to take care of this for me. It belonged to my father. I don't want it to die, and if anything should happen to me, who'd water it and take care of it?"
So, of course, I took it home. Maybe she had a premonition that she wouldn't live much longer.
He shrugged. "Anyway, Miss Ned, I can't take it with me, and I can't leave it in my house. Nobody would water it. Will you take it?"
I was touched by his concern for Miss Eva's wishes.
"Of course I will," I promised. "Be careful, Jules. Be suspicious of everyone. Whoever murdered three times won't hesitate to murder again."